The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus summoned the 12, and he began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust from your feet in testimony against them." And so they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. So, what do you think of that episode? What do you see in that Gospel passage? Pardon? Dependence on God and on His Holy Spirit, certainly. What else? People are not open. Keep moving on. Don't waste a lot of time on it. You've got a very important message. Stick with it. Keep a focus on that reality. So, what you got in your wallet? You know the commercial, right? And there is one directive answer in that question, right? What you got in your wallet? And we know the answer is? You don't? The answer is? What credit card? That's it. It wasn't really complicated. Capital One, right? They have the market share on that particular expression. It's not a bad idea. They have the market share on that. So when they advertise, what you got in your wallet? We know. Now, the reality is there are lots of other people and lots of other places. You know, if you go up and down the Highway 25 here, you start at Trustmark. They have a card that does just as much, right? And then you have Bank Plus, they are the same. And then you have Bancor South, they have the same. And then you go to Priority One. They're all in a row up there. Each of them has their cards, right? Hello? Yes, each of them have their cards. Each of them provide basically the same services, right? So what does that have to do with the gospel? You have no idea. Good. You're not alone. That's helpful. Thank you. You're not alone. Here's what it's got to do with the gospel. Pay attention to the nuances and the detail. Jesus is sending out the apostles. This is their first forage or venture into going out. How important is going out? It's extremely important. Otherwise, we could waste our time. If I do not have it in my heart to go out, to be a witness to Jesus Christ in the world, then all of my masses and all of my devotions, I've got to ask, where in the world are they going and what are they about? The proclamation of the kingdom of God is, everybody has got to go out. Everybody that claims Jesus Christ as Lord is missioned to go out. A look at the 12, essentially, they had been to all of his workshops, all of his presentations, they had listened, a bit like us, where we come week in, week out, and we listen. But the important piece is, and we see it particularly at the end of Matthew's Gospel, what we call the Grand Commission, we've talked about it a number of times, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Having heard, having taken in, having realized what this is about, go and make disciples. How do you do it? By being a witness to the Gospel. How do I witness to the gospel? Well, one thing for certain, the Lord provides plenty of opportunities every week, not just some weeks. But I guarantee you, he provides you and I opportunities, ample opportunities throughout the week. Coming here week to week is not for myself. The Lord God does not give his Spirit for me and for my personal benefit and for my personal needs. He gives his Spirit to us so that we respond. And the response is by making more disciples. It would appear like we miss that in the church. Look at where we are at. How many people have left the practice? Without ever knowing, that's our primary function. To go and make disciples, to go out and make disciples. Not go to Mass. Go out and make disciples. But we've settled for going to Mass. That's on us. Everybody that claims Jesus Christ as Lord is called to go out. He starts with the 12, and then he goes to the 72, which we read about. And then he goes to everybody else who is healed and ministered to by him. Every one of them praises their faith. Now go and be a witness. Invite others to the kingdom of God. How interesting this passage is. The details, the little nuances of what he directs them. He says, take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in your belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. Can you imagine these guys with their tunics and lining up at the launderette? They didn't have a launderette. Probably went down to the sea and washed out that tunic and made it work again and again. Why did he tell them those things? Don't carry money. Don't carry your Capital One card. Really. Don't carry a sack. Don't carry a second tunic. Why was he asking that? Come on. Be unencumbered by things. Have faith. Trust me. I know your every need even before you know it. It's pretty powerful. Trust me in the proclamation of the gospel. Everybody is called to proclaim the gospel. I know your needs even before they arise. But they still had a little difficulty, just as we. We don't know actually what they did bring or not, because there's no recounting of it in the gospel. It'd be purely speculative or theoretical that we would say, well, they didn't carry a sack or didn't carry an extra tunic. But what he's saying is, most of all, don't be overburdened about the things. It's not what you got in your wallet. That may get you some places here, but we're talking about bigger picture. He invited them to really look at the importance of our mission. What we were doing for 40 days during Lent, what am I here on earth for? What is really, really important in my life? And so he gave them those instructions, and as he moved them along, he asked them to look at, be cunning as serpents and gentle as doves. And he sent them in pairs. Why did he send them in pairs? Support. Because he knew how darn hard the mission of proclaiming his kingdom was. And he knew full well the resistance that exists in our world and that would continue to exist in the face of the proclamation of the gospel. Hey, take a friend with you, because when you are down and out and depleted, you're going to need that friend. Yes, you got me, but you're going to need a friend. somebody to talk it over with, and somebody to give a little correction, a little direction. It's a great passage. I've read it many, many times in my life. And then recently I had occasion to read it on four different occasions. It wasn't preparation for this homily, but it showed up in readings that I was doing, and then it showed up again and again. And I took note of those little details. And then I read Matthew's parallel version, and Matthew's parallel version of this, sending out the 12, is slightly different. He says, don't take a walking stick and don't take sandals. Those are little nuanced pieces, and it depends on how an individual hears. They're not a big deal. The idea was, be dependent on me. Trust me, I've got your back. It's a very important message to start out with. And as I read through this passage, then on last Tuesday morning when we had our staff meeting, we regularly do a reflection, a Lectio Divina, which you're mostly familiar with, yes? We do Lectio Divina on the Gospel of the following Sunday, and this is the passage that we read, the one we just heard. And in Lectio Divina, you take time after reading it the first time to look at, what word is the Lord drawing my attention or my focus to? Or what words, two or three words? And when it was read the first time, I looked at a lot of words, but the word he drew me to was no sack. And I thought, wow, that's strange. I looked at the other ones, the 12, the discipleship, the forgiveness, the anointing. I liked all of those words, but he said, the sack. Take no sack. What was the importance of that? Why do you think he invited them not to take a sack? Any ideas? No food, no sack. Leave the baggage behind. Wow. And no money. Thank you. Absolutely. And no MasterCard or Capital One or anything else. Good. Be careful. And as I thought about sack after the first reading, I thought, wow. I remember the first sack that I had. It was my school sack. It was a leather. You don't call them school sack here. You call it what? School bag or book bag or is it? We call them sack. Where is my sack? Who took my sack? And somebody would say, I think I saw it under the sofa. Meant I was doing a lot of homework, right? And so we would be looking for our sacks. All of them looked alike. They were leather. They had a pocket on the back. They looked like a saddlebag for all the world, a little leather saddlebag. And you had the two clips that went in here and you opened it up. And then you had straps that came around here and it hooked up in the middle. And you had your book bags and the things that you needed for school and the things that the teachers needed you to have. And then a few little things that you personally needed, maybe, you know, like chewing gum and a little candy and a few little things that you weren't supposed to have. And sometimes, who stole my chewing gum? And it was really lost there in the middle of the stuff oftentimes. Because he gathered up a lot of stuff that wasn't necessary. And then he began to lead me more to the idea, why did he ask them to leave the sack behind? Don't become overburdened with stuff. And then he pointed out to me, everybody has a sack. Everybody. You think about people that carry sacks and they come in different shapes and forms. If you're going hiking, you have this kind of big one and you carry a whole lot of stuff and oftentimes a whole lot more than you actually needed, right? Hey, when I was going to Ireland 40 years ago, going back home from my first trip, I'd carry three suitcases And then they meet me at the airport and say, why are you bringing all of this, you know? Because we couldn't get it into the trunk of the small little car and carry one on my knees to get home. It was a little insane. Now I carry one and 25 pounds of it. The first 25 are candy, usually. 5-pound bag for my sister that'll keep her going through the month. Jolly Ranchers, you know, that 5-pound bag. And then the kids, they kind of expect, you know, that you'll bring. So 25 pounds, and then you're allowed another 25 nowadays, right? To get up to 50. Not much opportunity, but I keep some clothes at home now. And so I don't have to carry too much. But it's an interesting directive. Watch people boarding the plane. Everybody has a sack just about. Some of them look like this, a carry-on. Some nice real leather shoulder strap to carry their computer. Others, they're nice little different cases that you can pull along or push along or drag along or whatever. Carrying their clothes, carrying their belongings for that trip. And then began to realize what Jesus was saying, it wasn't any of those sacks. It was the sack that everyone carries. It's the one that's close here, that is central to my relationship with him. And he knew exactly how they would deal with it and how we would deal with that sack. So the question is not, what have you got in your wallet? Big question is, what have you got in your sack? What have you got in your sack? Every one of us has one. And essentially, I began to realize in that prayer period, he was talking about a lot of stuff that we hold on to. A lot of stuff that is certainly an obstacle. He knew the obstacles they would face in their journey. He knew the challenges. He knew how difficult it was to really trust him outrightly. And he knew the struggle that they would encounter. So we look in our sack. What do you carry there? How different has it become over the years? I'm ashamed to say, hey, some of the things have not changed a great deal over the years. The things that I carry, maybe it is unforgiveness, maybe it is resentment, maybe it is spite, hatred, jealousy, envy. What do you have in your sack? Let me show you a little of what's in mine that I'm not proud of, but have had nice opportunities over the years to address or change some of it. And I'm amazed, you know, I still wind up with some of the same things. Carelessness. Carelessness in regard to him and relationship with him. How important is that relationship? I say it's important. How do I give witness to that? Untruth, lies, where do they find space? Why? Truth, that's a good one. Seeking that truth. Resentment. What are the resentments that I hold on to? Purpose. Do I have a purpose? No? You will have. Here's a good one. It seems to be kind of the global addiction. It's called gossip, half-truths. Do we have a kind of an addiction to that reality? Oh, I certainly think we do. Why is it? Is it fear? Is it a lack of trust? Is it stress, anxiety? Why is it? It just seems to be the recurrent mantra among us. Genuineness. That's a nice value. Wow, one of the nicest things you could say about a person, probably. They're genuine. It's an interesting one. Blaming, scapegoating. How come it's rarely me? It's always out there. How come it's so often somebody else that I cannot take personal responsibility? Well, you know, it's because of this and because of the history in my life and because of the memories and because I was wounded when I was 7 or 8. It's amazing. Unforgiveness, what a struggle that one is. Who are the people that are still unforgiven? And I carry the burden of that. Each one of us carries the burden of that ourselves, the areas of unforgiveness. Sort of like I drink the poison and hope the other person will die. Really. And I keep feeding it. Unless I change the pattern, is there going to be any improvement? Selfishness. About me. I am the object. Yes, I'm the object of his love, but if I took that seriously, man, it would diminish a whole lot of these other issues. Hostility. Where does my hostility show up? Why does it show up? And how is it related to all of those other events going back there? Because I was hostile early on when I was 11, and then I continued the pattern and never broke it. Forgiveness, that's a good one. That can bring a whole lot of healing. Envy. Who am I envious of? Am I envious of God? It's a good question. And I would say, no, I couldn't possibly be envious of God. Of course I could. He's so important. It's the important people that I am envious of. The others, not that critical. Unselfish. What a nice gift. To be unselfish, to be genuinely unselfish. What are the ones that I don't have in there? There are many others. What do you have in your sack? Why do you go back to it? I think it's easy to see why he said, folks, don't carry a sack. Because you know what? It becomes that storage place for all of my hurts, all of my disappointments, all of my regrets, and all of my struggle. He said, I know your challenges ever before you even meet them. And it is just amazing. I know in my own life I have found, hey, I've had some marvelous opportunities to just dump these out and get rid of them. I was remembering sharing with the staff during the week, you know, when I was halfway through my seminary training, I was in my 4th year coming up to the end of that summer, and I was trying to decide, do I want to stay in my home diocese, which I was signed up for at that time? And when I shared that with my bishop, he was not very happy that I was thinking of going to Mississippi. He said, I wouldn't advise anyone to go that far away, you know. Small little cultural perspective. And so I decided I'd make a little retreat. I'd go to the Benedictines. They weren't too far from my father's home place. And I spent 3 days, and the Lord would help me out and decide what to do. And so I did, and I went to the Benedictines, spent 3 days, and was amazed by these folks. I learned a lot about the Benedictines. The Cistercians, actually, they are the more rigid, formal version of the Benedictines. They are the ones who live the strict, rigid rule of the Benedictine order, and then there's the Benedictine foundation, which is slightly different. They're more lax in the application of the regulation and the rule of Saint Benedict. But these guys were pretty amazing. What I learned being there in 3 days, man, these guys were all extrovert. I had in my mind they would all be introvert, man, holy and praying and austere every day. And then I realized there was a guy in the class behind me who had been in high school with me, John Collins. He's a priest in my neighborhood at home now. And John had been pushed out, encouraged to leave the community because he was such an introvert. And he'd gone in as an introvert and he became more and more introvert. And so they said, hey, it's not going to work for you. And he went on and came out of himself. He operates as a great priest today in a local parish next to me. It was an interesting insight. Man, I love these guys. I thought, wow, I could stay here. And actually, I called home and I told my brothers and sisters, I'm going to stay until the end of the week, another 4 days, which I did, and it was extremely helpful. And I remember it was that sense of emptying out my sack and saying, what in the world am I supposed to do? And then I came back to seminary, and I signed up for the Diocese of Natchez Jackson. And as I began to look at my sack, man, I'd be darned if I didn't have some of that same old crap in there again. You know? I emptied it out. And then some of those same darn things. I think I understand why he said, don't take a sack. Because as I look at my sack, it doesn't have that much treasure. There are great treasures in my life. God, I'm intensely blessed. But what tends to dominate in the sack is crap. Really? And stuff that doesn't get me very far along in the proclamation of the gospel. And the question is, not what's in your wallet. That'll get you places in the world. But what's in your sack? And how does it inhibit and disrupt and get in the way of your mission? The need to be a proclaimer of the gospel. It was an amazing word, just sack. Everybody has one. What you got in yours? And what are you doing about changing it? Mine has changed, I promise you, over the years, but I still have a lot of the same little ones. Managed through, you know, anger management and through getting my master's in counseling in Mississippi State and being forced into an environment where you had to provide the directive feedback and everything else to others. And on retreats, I'm withdrawing and looking at and desiring and wanting to change. But I think he had such a great wisdom in saying, be careful of the sack that you take.